The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second hour of the show. It's been a fun show and on a Friday afternoon, and we will get to more of your calls in a moment. Some guests will be dropping by, and let's check out Zach, who is down in Florida. Hello, Zach. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What's going on?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. I know in 2018, me and you had a pretty heated discussion where you said Florida beat Georgia would be the biggest upset of the year. But now that Florida's beat Georgia in 2020, you don't think that anymore, do you?
Well, a lot's changed in 2 years. I mean, I'm trying to remember the circumstances in 2018. But, by the time we got to the game last year.
But even in 2018, Florida had a pretty good chance to win that game. I just don't think that Georgia's, years.
Hey, Zach, with all due respect, why would I care about the 2018 game right now April of 21?
No, I don't care. I'm trying to see if your mindset is, because I remember back then, and even right before Florida beat Georgia, people were acting like it was an impossible task for Florida to beat Georgia.
Nobody in their right mind ever thought it would be an impossible task for Florida to beat Georgia. I mean, why do you, as a Florida fan, have such an inferiority complex about Georgia?
Well, it's just the fact that I've seen my team win two national championships, and Georgia's getting all this hype, and I'm only, let's say, 24 years old, and I'm just saying, it's just kind of weird. I've seen Florida beat Georgia many a time, so I just don't understand what Georgia. Florida's proven they've done it,
and we got. Listen, you have a good program. What was your record last year? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was 9-4, something like that.
Okay, so you lost four games,
and we did, and we really did fumble that LSU game. But if we would have beat that, I mean, people probably have been hyping up the Gators a lot more. That unexcusable loss in Oklahoma.
Yeah, so already in this conversation, you've asked me about the 18 game. You've made excuses for the LSU game. You've made excuses for the bowl game. I mean, where do you want me to go next?
Well, I'm just saying, though, I'm just trying to get up. The Florida-Georgia game, let's be honest. We know there's a lot of people that are out for the bowl game and stuff like that. I know that's unexcusable because we should have managed it better. But besides that, I'm just saying, I think that Florida's in the hunt for the national championship for the past 2 years. I think we have been, really. Even though we haven't made the playoffs, I think we're right here. We had an argument to really make it last year, even if we would have beat Alabama.
Okay, so now if you were to beat Alabama, I mean, what if I'd have made a couple of good stock investments a few years ago, I'd be a millionaire, but I'm sitting here talking to you.
Well, Paul, what I'm trying to get at is we're a lot closer than we're saying. I think we're closer than Texas A&M is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think Jimbo Fisher had – it's very easy to win a national championship.
Hey, can you guys put Matt on with him? I want a Texas A&M fan on this phone call, because I think,
man, this is awesome.
Well, hold on, Zach.
Okay, Zach, if you guys are so close to winning a national title, you guys were a joke in the bowl game, Zach. You guys should butt handed to you in that bowl game. Oklahoma stomped you guys, Zach. You say we're not that close? We got more stars coming back on defense. We got a little more stars coming back on offense. You guys were an embarrassment to the college football world in that bowl game. You guys smacked around, kicked in the chin. And they got away with it, Zach. We're more close to winning a national title.
Well, I'm going
to
be honest with you.
Matt,
I'm saying that is true. But Florida probably would beat Texas A&M if we played again. We would have beat Texas A&M.
Yeah,
Florida,
I'll give you that. You
game.
Probably would have beat us. But
and
we
Texas
played
A&M
you
with a good
this year,
team.
Zach. We would stomp you guys.
I disagree. I think that Dan Mullen's going to beat.
Oh, really?
Going to beat Nick
really?
Saban before. Jimbo Fisher, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing in the
he will
the
never
game
beat
of the
Nick
year.
Saban. Jimbo's going to beat Nick Saban way before your coach does.
Okay. And Kirby's not going to beat him either before Dan Mullen. I'm just going to let you know that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's put facts before your mouth does, Zach. the two coaches in the East,
well,
in the
well,
West,
well, they
so everyone would be Nick Saban team, your coach, for everyone in the national title for the next 5 to 10 years will be Jimbo Fisher and Kirby Smart, because they have better recruits, better facilities than you guys ever will.
Well, Nick Saban might can coach and recruit better, but I don't. That's not true about Kirby Smart. He might
okay,
recruit
see,
better, but he cannot
see, Kirby
coach
Smart
better.
Has more 5 stars and more 4 stars than you. Your coach can't even
still
recruit good
Florida,
players
though.
After time.
And they play dirty against
Florida.
They tried to hurt Kyle Pitts, and Florida still beat them.
Okay, okay.
You know
what
I mean?
What was the final score in the Florida A&M game, Zach? What was the final score?
No, y'all win that.
The scoreboard says anything.
It was a high score. Was it 38-35? I forgot the exact score.
And the scoreboard says it all, Zach. You couldn't even stop the ball when we ran it against you, Zach. You guys were a joke on defense.
No, we were a joke on defense. And I think Todd Grantham should have been fired. But you got to admit, if Florida last year just had just an average defense, I think Florida would have won the national championship because we almost outscored Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
So
keep on making excuses,
Florida,
Zach. Keep on making excuses.
No,
like every
Zach guys, slow down.
Sorry.
I mean, both of you now, without the other interrupting, make a final argument. Zach, you first.
All right. So, okay, well, the reason Florida's team was really great last year and the reason they're going to be pretty good this year is because Dan Mullen's can make offense out of nothing. You see what he did with Flip A. Frank. But Florida's going to have a great offense, a tremendous offense this year. And if their defense can just step it up a little bit, just a little support, I mean, we probably could win the national championship. Wouldn't you agree, Paul, if Florida had an average defense last year, they would have probably won the national championship.
Zach, slow it down. Matt, it's all yours.
Nobody come back on defense at all this year. You're not going to win a national title. You have nobody come back on defense. And nobody come back on the offensive side of the ball. A&M has more stars coming back on defense than your sorry team does have this year. We have a better recruiting class coming in 2021.
Okay, guys, we are going to run, but I thank both of you for being good sports.
Hey, peace out, Matt. All love, bro. All love.
I mean, who would have ever dreamed that a Florida and a A&M fan would get into the first phoner feud of the month? I did not have that in my predictions for the beginning of the week. Let's get back to some more calls here. And Quinn is next up in Louisiana. Hello, Quinn.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I think my call might be a little vanilla compared to the last one. But
that's okay.
I have a question about Derek Stingley Jr. at LSU. During his recruitment, I remember saying he chose LSU because Coach O said he could play both ways his sophomore year. You didn't see it last year. I was wondering, maybe we'll see it next year. If not, whose decision that is?
Well, ultimately, that is Coach O's decision. Now, I don't know what went into that conversation, but I really don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to say a lot of things here based on all the he said, she said things in Baton Rouge, but I will see if we can find something out about that. I appreciate your call, though. You be well, and we'll get you an answer. Neil is in New Jersey. Go right ahead, Neil.
Yeah, Paul, second-time caller. I'm calling about the SEC TV schedule for the fall. I know it's a little while away, but are we still going to have to sit through the analytical skills of Mr. Danielson anymore, or will we be free of him?
No, as of right now, that CBS still has the games this fall.
Oh, God, so I can't even reach back and get Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles.
I wish I could help you, but I don't have the power to undo the contract.
Okay. Last time I called, I mentioned Major Ogilvie. I was wondering, back in the 80s, did you ever cover the Birmingham Stallions in the USFL?
I sure did. The first year they played, I covered them every game.
Did you? I had season tickets to the New Jersey Generals. They were a bit of a disappointment, even with Herschel Walker. We just couldn't get off the ground.
I covered a game up there once, and it's a funny story. In context, I guess it was 84 when New Jersey came down to play Birmingham. I knew one or two of the major stockholders of the Birmingham team, and he had a party. It was a fairly small party, about 12 or 14 people. I can't remember how many. And so I don't know how I got invited, but I did. And guess who the party was honoring?
Herschel.
No, Herschel was at the hotel. It was honoring the principal owner of the New Jersey Generals. That would
a man who may go nameless. Is that who you're talking about?
His initials are DJT.
There you go. Well, I think he may have single-handedly helped destroy the USFL by.
Well, the interesting thing was, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Donald Trump was the owner of the team, and I got to talk to him quite a bit that night. And the next day, he made the rounds in the press box. He was pretty much uninterested in me, but he was looking for the tabloids, the Post and the Daily News. Mm-hmm. But when he saw me, he obviously remembered me because I'd sat across from him at the dinner. So we had a long talk about football. Mm-hmm. And I always leave politics out. But talking professional mm-hmm. football with Donald Trump was quite extraordinary.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Generals would have been a great team if they'd stayed, because Jim Kelly was going to join
team. Well, I mean, we all know that that Trump was, he owned the teams. He was trying to, force the NFL to give him a franchise. That was his whole design. When he spearheaded the antitrust suit, it was a fascinating case. If you're a law student out there, if you want to read a bizarre trial. The USFL, I think it was against, was it the NFL? I really can't, I think it was against the NFL. I can't remember. We will take a break. More to come. Stephen M. Smith joining us in a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back here on a Friday afternoon. We are going to get back to your calls in a moment. We've already had a couple of guests, and we have another one right now. Stephen M. Smith from Touchdown, Alabama, joining us. And Stephen, it's always good to see you. Before we get to the Crimson Tide, I want to ask you about what we did. We just had two callers going back and forth, one from A&M, one from Florida, about which one of their programs is better positioned for a national championship. Who you got?
Between A&M and Florida, that's a good question. Let's see here. Give me A&M slightly. I'll slightly go Jimbo Fisher over Dan Mullen.
Okay. I think that seems to be where most people are going, but I think right now, certainly, Florida is in good shape, but I would say next year A&M might be in a slightly better position. Speaking of who's in a slightly better position, that would be the University of Alabama. So we're into camp now. We've had a scrimmage. We'll see more before the spring game coming up in a few weeks. What's been going on down there?
Well, right now, you know, Coach Saban, Paul has been talking about the energy in the room, the intensity in the room, the effort of the players. Of course, they're not where he would like them to be, but at the same time, he's not dissatisfied with the effort that's being done, the intensity being out there, and the energy being put out there on the field. The main thing from the first scrimmage was the defense is ahead of the offense. Now, I know that's kind of crazy after seeing since 2017, the offense has kind of been sort of the main focal point here. But for the first time since then, you've got a lot of your leadership, your veteran talent, your marquee guys on the defensive side of the football, whether that's on the defensive line, at linebacker, in the secondary, you name it. Pete Golding in his fourth year at Alabama, his third year as the defensive coordinator. So things are setting up to where if there was a moment where the Bama Nation out there could have that strong, solid defense that's grown so accustomed to seeing in years past, this upcoming season would be the year just seeing how all of the critical pieces have returned to the defensive side of the ball.
Stephen M., if you had to point to a player or two on that defense, where would you go?
Well, a player or two, well, first and foremost, I got to go with Christian Harris at the linebacker position coming into his junior year of the young man from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He had to grow up quick as a freshman because he had to play, start at weak side linebacker due to an injury to Joshua McMillan during fall camp before the 2019 season even started. And he grew from that. He learned from that. He made a lot of explosive plays as a freshman of this past season. He took another step forward as a sophomore, being productive in the middle, you know, of that defense at that weak side linebacker spot. And now with Dylan Moses now headed off to the NFL draft, you know, Christian Harris has been vocal about, this is my defense now. I'm making the calls on the field. I'm getting the guys set up to where they need to be at, and I'm going to make sure that not only are we strong on third down, but we're strong on second down, setting us up for the third down. So after, you know, Bama fans didn't quite see a lot of the massive production from Dylan Moses due to the injuries he sustained, I feel like you're going to see that back with Christian Harris, but not just him. The chemistry that he and Jalen Moody both share in that inside linebacker room. But another guy to look forward to in that secondary, you know, Jordan Battle. That guy is a film junkie, a natural-born safety, and a guy that's not afraid to come down there and lay the wood, take somebody out, make some big tackles there in the secondary. So Christian Harris and Jordan Battle, you know, two guys I'm really excited to see as leaders in this upcoming season.
Stephen M., you were the first person to alert us as far back as last year to the development of Paul Tyson. I know we heard a lot about Bryce Young last week, but how is that battle shaping up?
Well, right now in the first scrimmage, Paul, you know, Coach Saban talked about it. Bryce took that huge step out there first with the four touchdown passes he threw. This scrimmage coming up on Saturday will give Paul a chance to showcase his answer, you know, what he does out there on the field. In the first scrimmage, Tyson did play well. He had a lot of completions, but also he was running that second team offense, which that offensive line for the second team has a lot of young guys on it. And when you have young guys on your offensive line going up against a veteran defense, that quarterback, you got to get the ball out quick because those guys on the opposite side are trying to take your head off. And those guys, you look at Christopher Allen and Will Anderson, those two outside linebackers. So Paul had a solid first scrimmage, but had to go through things quickly because he was working with that second team group. But, I mean, we've seen Paul throughout the history of Alabama under Nick Saban, the importance of the backup quarterback of a number two guy. I mean, likely Bryce Young is going to be the starter, but Paul Tyson, highly important due to, we've seen it with Jalen and Tua. As good as Jalen was in 2017, Alabama knew what it had in Tua, and Tua went out there in the second half of the national championship game and rescued the program to a title. We saw it happen the very next year where Tua was the guy, but Jalen goes out there in the SEC championship game, ironically, against Georgia again, and it carries the team to a comeback victory in the conference championship game. And even down with Tua, you know, and Mac Jones, Tua gets hurt. You know, Mac goes out there. He has some big moments in 2019, and that catapulted him into the season he had this past year as a starter, you know, leading the Tide to a national championship. So, while, you know, Bryce Young looking right now like likely he will be the starting quarterback in the upcoming fall, you got to have that support toward, you know, Paul Tyson, because at any given moment, he's going to have opportunity to go out there and showcase what he can do. The team's got confidence in him. The coaching staff's got confidence in him. He's in his, you know, going into his third, fourth season here, you know, with the program, so that they know what he can do if he's called upon.
And I know it's early, Stephen M., but, you know, when you hear about, let's talk about Bryce Young for a second. I mean, what is your sense of how, assuming he wins the job, that's the conventional wisdom. I mean, how much command of this team is he going to have in relation to a year ago when Mac Jones took over as a starter, really for the first time other than the mop-up at the end of the previous season, and became a Heisman candidate?
He's going to have a lot of command here of the team, Paul, and he's already starting to become a vocal leader, that being one Bryce Young. Brian Robinson, Alabama senior running back, talked about that today in his interview with reporters. And what's interesting here is you have to look at Bryce Young in a sense of, you know, is the magic real? And this is what the coaching staff wants to see, and this is what the fans want to see. We've heard enough talk about what he did in high school at the powerhouse Model Day in California. You know, what he did in those games, what he did in those competitions he had, you know, after high school, whether it was the Elite 11 or the All-America Bowl or things of that nature. People want to see, is the magic real with this young man? Can he create the way we're hearing he can create? Can he operate consistently the way people have been talking about, you know, for so long? And this is why I've been one to say this spring game is the most critical, it's the most important one of the Saban era, due to we did not get a spring this past year to see, you know, what Bryce Young could do. It was pried from our hands, it was taken from us due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So now we're going to get a chance to see with our own two eyeballs here, Paul, what is this magic? Is it real? Can he be consistent with it? Is this young man the real deal, the way people have been talking for, you know, countless times at this point right now? And when you look at a guy like a Bryce Young, he was the toast of the 2020 signing class, recruiting class. And with each class that Alabama has brought in here under Coach Saban, there's always that one guy that's the toast of the class. And by toast, I'm referring to, you know, he's the guy that everybody was excited to have bring in here. He's the guy that people feel like if we get him, you know, we can conquer the world. And though fans were excited to get the Will Andersons, the Tim Smiths, the Javon Bakers, the Drew Sanders, the Malachi Moores, the Brian Branches, the guys that they brought into 2020, when Bryce Young signed, a lot of people were like, that's it, I'm going to turn the TV off. This was the guy I want to see come in here, point blank, period. This is the guy that we feel like we can conquer the world with this kid right here. So what the coaching staff wants to see, Paul, what the fans want to see, is the magic real? Can he be the consistent guy that he's being talked up to be? And in the second scrimmage, and most importantly, Paul, this A-Day coming up here on next week, fans will get to see this for themselves.
Well, we can't wait. Stephen M., thank you for dropping by. We'll keep in touch. The A-Day game is a week from tomorrow, and we are heading to a break. Much more to come on what's been a pretty entertaining Friday afternoon. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back here Friday afternoon, and let's go to the calls. And Lynn is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, Paul. It's your social worker from South Carolina. I hope you're well.
I am. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, first of all, for the feuder phoners, whatever you called it.
Phoner feud.
I needed a laugh. I needed a laugh, but I do admire their passion.
So how have you been? What's going on with you?
I've been fine, and I've been thinking, which anyone who knows me would tell you, oh, Lord, that's outside the scope of your practice, Lynn. But I've been wondering, I want to throw this NIL thing back into the mix.
Okay.
Had a gentleman call the other day talking about the transfer portal, and were these young people getting any kind of advice, and probably not. Either no advice or ill-advised, especially now that we know for sure that coaches are doing whatever on the side. If we consider the NCAA advertisement true that only 2% of athletes go pro in sports, and then we take out of that 2% people that you can remember something that they did, the Christian Leitners, the Jalen Scruggs, the Tom Bradys of the world, just to name a few. And these young people wake up and realize they don't live at Cheers and everybody doesn't know their name. And this money from these endorsements is long gone and they've got nothing to show for it. And we wound up with the sad situation that we just had here in Rock Hill.
Right.
Where, and who remembered Phillip Adams?
Nobody.
Who knew he played? Thank you. And it's sad. It's heartbreaking. But, can't colleges and universities, surely they've got some economic professors or something that these students would have to be forced to or encouraged.
Yeah, Lynn, I think they are educated. I know most coaches, most prominent coaches bring in people continuously to talk about various things. But the problem is this. Every young athlete, by the time they get to South Carolina or Clemson or Alabama or Florida, they have most likely been the best player at their high school. They've been the best player at their middle school. And they're still a good player, and they don't think it's ever going to end. And, sports is unique in that where in most other extracurricular activities, whether if you're a cellist or something else, or a thespian, it's going to catch up to you at some point. In athletics, it takes a little while because there's so many opportunities to play.
Yeah. Well, one last comment, and then I got some free advice for you.
Okay.
We're saying NIL. The word, it's an actual word. It's Neil.
I never thought about
that. And it's in the Oxford Dictionary, if anybody out there remembers what a dictionary is, or you can Google it. And the word Neil actually means...
I don't know about you, but when I worked at a newspaper, I couldn't wait to jump up, and we had like a 10-ton dictionary, one of these, I don't even know what they called it. I mean, you could not pick it up. It was so heavy, but it had every word in the universe in it.
But the fact that that means zero is kind of ironic.
That is, I've never, ever, ever thought about that. That's amazing. That's funny.
Yeah.
Lynn, you take care of yourself and be well.
Well, I got one piece of advice for you.
Okay.
Real quick. Free
sure.
advice.
Sure.
You wanted something free.
I did.
If it sounds good to be true, it probably isn't good and most likely isn't true.
That's wonderful. That is great advice. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Be well.
I have been in those situations where you start to think we've all been there. Like, man, this is too good to be true. And she's right. It's usually not. Let me check out some more callers here.
Bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
I like bread and butter. Don is up next in Georgia. Hey, Don.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you today?
I am well. Good afternoon.
Hey, I was calling just to discuss the A&M and Florida debate that was on a little bit earlier.
Yes.
So my piece is this. One, as a LSU fan and a college football homer, I would say that the positive things that happened for LSU was, one, Tom Herman wasn't hired, nor was Jimbo Fisher. But with that being said, between the two, I think that Florida has the better situation to be the one to beat Alabama as opposed to A&M.
Really? Why?
Well, I just think that Mullen's program that he runs is a little more, maybe not the highest profile athletes that are there that come to his program, but he gets the most out of them. Jimbo's time at Florida State, yeah, he won a national championship, but at the end of the day, they are on a very upward trend to get back to prominence by the time he left there. And I think he had a lot to do with that.
Well, I do think he stayed there too long, and he was and this happens in a lot of industry, and I think, you know, think about it yourself in your own job. There comes a point when you don't feel respect, you feel the knives are out for you, and I think that's where Jimbo was, and I think it, you know, he had some personal issues as well, and I think his last two or three years there were terrible, and he probably should have left to go to LSU when he had the opportunity.
And I think what helped him stay a little bit, maybe like you said, too long, was that he did win a national championship because
yeah.
I think Bobby Bowden was run out a little bit earlier than what the fans thought he should have.
No, you're right. No, winning a national championship is great, but look at Coach O. Since he's won the championship, he after the first couple of months, he hasn't had many really good days because the pressure ratchets up. And you have that in your back pocket, but it doesn't cash every check. Gene Chizik left Auburn a couple of years after a national championship. Malzahn nearly won a national championship. And, it took a while, but they caught up to him. Jimbo was not going to last at Florida State the way the circumstances were there. It happens in every sport. And it's just, sometimes we can't see it. But it's usually the interpersonal relations within end up getting to the coaches first. We need to stop here for just a moment. We have a couple more guests to come, and mostly your phone calls here on a Friday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And a Friday afternoon is here, and we are taking your phone calls. And Ron, who is in Florida, is up next. Hey, Ron. Ron, you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, your last caller said something about Jimbo Fisher left FSU in pretty good shape. I don't think so. I think Jimbo was kind of aggravated with administration. He was aggravated with everything that was going on, so he left FSU in shambles. It was a mess. And now it's 2021, and we're still dealing with that at FSU. So I don't think he left us in a really good situation.
I agree with you. The program was in trouble, and you're right. He had a lot of things that were bugging him and internal pressures, and he should have left earlier, but I would say his last year there was a complete disaster, and probably the year before was leading to a disaster.
Right. And I always look back at it, and I think, like,
I look at Jimbo and I actually thought Jimbo was a good coach, but if you look back on his record, he had trouble with beating Duke, North Carolina. I'm like, before Jameis Winston, when Jameis Winston came there, he actually got on a roll. So I actually think Jameis really helped in his success. I may be wrong.
Well, no, Jameis from the first game that he played, the Seminoles were off and running, and you know they had two fabulous years. They were undefeated in 13 and nearly ran the table in 14, and then things started to disintegrate. But you know, Jameis Winston was critical. Absolutely. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Tom, who is up next. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom, I'm well. Thank you.
I got two questions for you. I watch your show every day.
Thank you.
My first question is, when I lived in Atlanta, I used to watch Pistol Pete play. My father was a security guard for the Hawks. If they had a three-point line back when Pistol Pete played, how many points do you think he'd get a game?
Yeah, you know, I had somebody from college, from college, go back, and I'm trying to remember what his highest year was. Was it 45 points or something? It would have been close to 60, I think.
Okay, and my second question is, how many Alabama players you think are going to turn pro?
From the basketball team, I know that Herb has come out, which was expected, and I'm not sure. Let me answer it this way. It may not matter when you consider how well they're recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama is not only recruiting lights out, they picked up a great transfer yesterday. There may be another player out. I mean, this program is as well positioned as any time in history. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Okay, Zach wants. Zach claims that he did not get a fair. A fair shake, but he was on the phoner feud earlier. Zach, is it possible there's anything left for you to say?
No. But the callers were getting to my point about Jimbo because I told the lady else that I wanted to speak one more thing about Jimbo.
Oh, okay.
Jimbo Fisher, you need to realize Florida State is the easiest program to win a national championship at. First, you're in the ACC. Second of all, you're in the best talent-rich state in the country. And, you know, Florida State's an established program. It's very easy to win a national championship at FSU.
Yeah, well, hold on a second. I don't know about easy. I mean, it's easier. I will tell you that. And by the way, they took advantage.
Not out of all of them.
They also had the advantage of Florida being all over the place at the time. That's always the key.
Yes,
I mean, even Spurrier did not have a winning record against FSU.
Yes, and that's one reason because, you know, the SEC, so it's so tough. You know, at the end of the season, we're all banged up, and then there's FSU playing dirty. The hardest part about their schedule is playing us, you know, and –
But no, I mean, listen, I agree. I mean, Spurrier used to always say, I've got to beat LSU and beat Alabama in the championship game and have a non-conference game.
Oh, yeah.
And LSU is getting ready for us by prepping against Wake Forest.
And another thing to rag on Jimbo Fisher, he would have never won that national championship if it wasn't for not suspending Jameis Winston, and that kick six saved them. Because if they would have not got that kick six, Auburn against Alabama, we all know Alabama would have killed them.
No, by the way, I agree with you on that. And besides, Zach, and nobody ever talks about this because it was an absolute meltdown, but there was a moment in the Florida State-Auburn National Championship game late in the second quarter that if Auburn could have made one more play, that game was over. I think it was a fake punt that Jimbo pulled.
Auburn
should have destroyed. Auburn was on the verge of destroying that team.
And that's one reason I don't like Auburn, Paul, because they cost the SEC the last BCS national championship, and we started the streak in 06, Paul.
I remember being out there in Pasadena.
That
was one of the most bitter nights I've ever been around.
Oh,
and it was just the fact that they should have won the game. I didn't care if they won or lost or won by 30 or lost by 30, but they literally choked the game away.
I remember going to high school, I think it was in ninth grade that year, I was so pissed, Paul. I did not want to go to high. I did not want to go to school that day.
Hey,
it was terrible.
Thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We have 2 hours to go, and we hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.